The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
I can't even believe you said that.
Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill, the pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
That's blocked and picked up by Cincinnati out across the 46. It was blocked by Nick Vigil. And the offense comes back onto the field for Cincinnati. Menentown left. Burrow. Sideline. Chase. Spin. There he goes. Jamar Chase.
Not catching him.
Touchdown, Bengals. Brixton Wood is fired up. The Bengals are fired up. And Jamar Chase has got his second of the night. 40 yards for the go-ahead point.
No, baby. Is what Cowboy fans are saying this morning. Yes, yes, yes. Vontae's in traffic on his way over. I'll explain in a second. That was Joe Buck on ESPN last night, Monday Night Football.
I lost. I'm out.
You know, there's so many takeaways from that game, and we got a lot to get into today. I know we said a lot of things to get into. I know people say that at every show. Oh, we got a great show. No, legitimately, there are so many things happening in the world right now, and I've got some personal things I'd like to share as well. But I'm watching that game last night, and I don't know how many other people were in the same predicament as me. Fantasy football playoffs are going to happen based off that game. Think of how many people had Brown going, the running back, how had C.D. Lamb going, how many people had Cincinnati defense, Joe Burrow. Well, I happen to be one of those people. I'm on the outside looking in fantasy playoffs, and I need Joe Burrow to not score one more point at the end of that game. Right before the Chase touchdown, I was up, whatever, 10 points, and Chase gets a huge touchdown, a 40-plus yarder, all the bonus points, and I'm winning by less than a point. And I go, if I win, I'm in the playoffs. And if other people can score some points here and maybe, you know, some things can happen, guys are going to miss out on buys. And so I was glued to the television watching that Cincinnati Bengal Cowboy game, and my God, is it better when the Cowboys lose? And to lose in the way that they did, they block the punt. And a guy who was activated like a week ago touches the ball past the line of scrimmage. I just, classic Dallas Cowboy losers.
I can't remember the last time that's happened. Like, I know everyone's going to Leon Lett because of that whole famous play, because of the Cowboys, because Thanksgiving. All that. But like,
were you alive for Leon Lett?
I was probably like a 1 year old.
I hate you.
Like, but like, that's the thing though. Like, that doesn't happen. But it happened twice to the Cowboys.
The poor special teams coach was like, yes, 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 no!
Oh, was it Fossil Bones, they call him, right?
Yeah. And I'm watching that game, and look, Cooper Rush can make a play here and there, but 9 times out of 10, I'm watching him, I'm like, he stinks! He stinks! How bad is Trey Lance if he can't get in front of Cooper Rush? But that's not my big takeaway. I'm watching that game, and there were two things that I thought about. First one, damn, Jamar Chase is an unbelievable playmaker. That's what a $30 million wide receiver looks like. A guy who can go over the middle. He can go deep. He can go on tunnel routes, these tunnel screens. He can do just about anything. You want to line him up in the backfield? So be it. He is tough. He is fast. He separates. He catches with his hands. He draws pass interferences. He is elite. And he's having one hell of a season. And then I'm watching the other guy, the quarterback. And we've talked a lot about Brock Purdy. And I think Brock's a very good player. But there is a clear Grand Canyon-esque divide between Joe frickin' Burrow and Brock Purdy. And that's not a knock on Brock Purdy. There's a lot of divide between a Dak Prescott, a Kirk Cousins, whoever you want to put in that kind of second, third tier of elite quarterbacks or good quarterbacks from Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, until the knife is through the heart with 0-0-0 on the clock, that guy cannot be counted out. He is an absolute stud. And if you think, because of some metrics or whatever stat you want to use as a crutch to say that Joe Burrow isn't good, you and I just can't talk football together. Because Joe Burrow, like Josh Allen, like Lamar, like Patrick, and I would even throw Matt Stafford into this, and I've given him that, and maybe I'm missing guys. You cannot count them out. That guy, when he drops back, I don't care what the score is, he's not dead until it's 0-0-0 on that clock. And there are very few quarterbacks in my life I felt like that about. Brett Favre was one. Russell Wilson for a long period of time was one. Aaron Rodgers was one. Peyton Manning was one. Tom Brady. Put Joe Burrow in that class. He is unbelievable. And the season that he's having, 33 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. And I know there's going to be advanced metrics and the QBRs and the yards per attempt and all that as Bonte comes in. What's up, buddy? And we'll talk about traffic in a second because I'm with you. I went through the same thing, and I have lots of thoughts on traffic.
You're on 101?
Because 280 was blocked off. You couldn't go that way.
Yes, I know.
It was a nightmare.
What a nightmare. My cousin Mike Hill out there in traffic right now. It's ugly out there. One time I tried to come early, and we're gridlocked for 20 minutes. Then you drive through, and you get downtown, and you have to get off the freeway. It's a nightmare.
Worse.
By the way, as I was walking up, a rumor from Sham Sharania.
Okay.
The Miami Heat are open to listening to trade offers for Jimmy Butler. He's open to playing for the Dallas Mavericks, Houston Rockets, and the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I'm out on Jimmy Butler.
I'll
get to that in a second. Now, shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online.
I appreciate your text back, fellas. Hey, Bonte, drive safely.
I was mid-show.
I mean, I just assumed you were good. You're in the Batmobile.
But other people I saw you tweet. Thread.
Well, you're good
Get
enough to tweet.
Home safely. Oh, give him my love.
You were sick.
I was like, man, I mean, no love for my old show.
You were tweeting at KCBS, so I assumed you were fine if you were good enough to tweet. Like Debo Samuel.
Man, apparently it's not good. Apparently a dead body and brains and everything out on the road. It was nasty.
All right, well, just ask First NorCal Credit Financing at the dealer. And we're also brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. We're going to have Baldy on at some point. But, Bonte, I'm watching.
Oh, there's Sam Lovin, 608. What's your ETA? Thanks, Lovin.
Did you watch that Monday Night Football game last night?
No, I didn't. I watched Disney on Ice. No, of course I watch Monday Night. What do you think I was doing?
Joe Burrow.
I don't watch anything but sports, Shasky. You know me by now. Joe Burrow's amazing, but Jamar Chase is even better. I look.
There's a Grand Canyon divide. Those types of players, they're elite. I'm not knocking like Brandon Ayuk or Debo Samuel, guys like that, but like when we talk about paying players and premiums and how much and resetting markets for whatever position, like can we acknowledge there are some elite, unbelievable playmakers out there. Joe Burrow's one of them, and Jamar Chase. We can't just look at wins and losses. We've got to like watch the games, people.
So when what's going on? So what's going on? Rewind the show for me because you're going off about Joe Burrow. What's going on?
Well,
with Joe
I see
Burrow?
A lot of people comparing Joe Burrow to Brock Purdy when it comes to statistics, and you know Joe Burrow's injured. You know Joe Burrow, his team's not winning, and we're using team accolades as a determinator for who's a great and not great quarterback. And I watched Joe Burrow and I put him in a category of I think he will come back at any point, anytime until it's 0-0-0 on that clock because he is that deadly.
Not to cut you off.
No matter what the
circumstances are. Who are these people? Who are these people? Are these just random
fans?
Niner fans are saying that Brock Purdy's better than Joe Burrow.
Yeah, they'd rather have
Purdy than Joe Burrow. Well, we did this exercise like in week 3. I remember that was my walking back Wednesday. I was like, yeah, I was smoking a Purdy la-la.
Well, Joe Burrow has gotten injured a lot, but when you watch that guy play, There's not a throw on the field he can't make. He has zero offensive line. And what he does every single time, like, it was 3rd and 27. I go, this guy's going to find a way to complete this.
Well, you know, they got extremely lucky yesterday with the block punt.
I mean,
Dallas not saying poison, 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 poison.
No, they.
But to your point about Joe Burrow, I don't think there's a, come on, man. There's, unless you're a casual or unless you're David Lombardi, you're not taking Brock Purdy over Joe Burrow. Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here?
No, but I think when we talk about resetting the quarterback market and we're talking about pay scale and all that, like, I think the Niners have found themselves in this situation a couple of times, and one of them was the Brandon Ayuk situation where they kind of got backed into a corner and they had to give him, quote-unquote, market value, and he's a really good player. But the difference between a Jamar Chase, a Justin Jefferson, and a Brandon Ayuk is dramatic.
Oh, it's a Grand Canyon size.
And I Jamar would say Chase. That the same distance is equal between Joe Burrow and Brock Purdy. So as we talk about Brock Purdy's finances coming up, like, I understand he wants top of the market. I'm sorry, you're not a top of the market player.
Yeah, I don't even know who would, unless you're a casual again. 33 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, but Jamar Chase, you talk about holding out, basically not going to practice in training camp and saying, I want to get paid. I want to get paid. Oh, I got one. Thanks, brother. Mike Brown, he's notorious for being cheap. And he goes out there without a contract, it says, I got to play, and I'm going to prove that I'm worth every single penny. Now, he did it a different way than Brandon Ayuk. Jamar Chase went out there, 93 catches, 1,319 yards, and he's on one of my fantasy teams, and he's got me humming. I mean, you look at the point totals just in fantasy, but, like, he has monster games, and he has pure hands. Guy has 15 touchdowns.
What?
15 touchdowns, and the connection between Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase takes a lot of reps, a lot of practice time. They've been doing this since LSU. There is not a more deadly combination in the NFL than Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. Now, unfortunately, it's a team game. Your defense has to play well. You had T. Higgins in and out of the lineup,
yes.
A guy who I would not pay. Offensive line's been banged up. You lost Zach Moss. Chase Brown's a nice little running back.
I like
so they've had a lot of little flaws here. But Cincinnati has a great starting point. Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow. And there ain't a, come on, man. I don't know. I don't want to make it a Brock Purdy, Joe Burrow thing, but I watched Joe Burrow at Levi Stadium last season. All right? It's not a doubt in my mind I'm taking Joe Burrow over Brock Purdy. And I'm not hating on Purdy. It's not a hatred. It's not any slander towards Brock Purdy. Joe Burrow is that dude. He's amongst the Josh Allens, the Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
And that's that.
He's a get on my back and ride me type of a player. And that's why I look at franchise quarterbacks like, what has gone right for them on defense? Nothing has gone right for the Bengals on defense. They, in fact, their defense, he's thrown 9 touchdowns in 2 games that they've lost.
Yeah.
Okay? So is a guy who's thrown 3 touchdowns over and over and over again, and this team can't stop a nosebleed. And I look at him as a guy that doesn't matter what the settings are, you know, how adverse they are, if I'm on the road, if I'm at home, if my defense can't stop anything, he is still an elite player, and that's kind of, to me, the differentiator between him and a lot of quarterbacks. Not just Brock Purdy, but I think that second and third tier of quarterbacks, what separates them is, can you get on my back no matter what? And he's one of those guys.
I'll take a Joe Burrow every day of the week and twice on Sunday over Brock Purdy. It's no slander over Brock Purdy, but I don't even know why we even get into this conversation. Who cares what
fans at the barbecue? Because I watch how great he is.
Well, yeah, but I don't even, there's not a fan I talked to yesterday that texted me and said, oh man, Brock Purdy and Joe Burrow. Like, I don't even watch the games like that. That's their situation in Cincinnati. The Niners have their situation now here with Shanahan, and Brock Purdy's very good. So I don't like internet fodder over people saying, oh man, I'm taking Joe Burrow, Brock Purdy. I didn't even know that was a thing last night.
People do that same thing with Josh Allen.
I had no idea.
Josh Allen can't win in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson can't win in the playoffs. And so we like to just completely diminish all of their regular season success and accolades and how great they are. And I find it to be an absurd exercise.
Spadoni, where's the Bob Fitzgerald drop? Stay off the internet. Stay off the internet. Stay off of it.
Yeah, got it lost in the shuffle, old building.
Stop!
Old building. Oh, yeah. Boy, old building. By the way, good morning to everybody out there. Hopefully you're driving safely, especially those on 101 North. So I get on the 280, 380. The one day I don't take 280 because 280 and my entrance – they've been doing road work, so they make you get off at Westboro or whatnot out there from San Bruno. So I'm like, all right, the light's green. I'm just going to go 101 North. Not a problem. Maybe a 2-minute difference. As soon as I hit that ramp, stop and go, traffic, big mail trucks. I'm thinking, what's going on here? So 5 lanes on 101 North. You get veered over to one lane, and you're sitting there, I'm just thinking, boy, this is a while. And then you just see the red building on the ways, building. So then finally get through, I'm smashing. I'm like, all right, great. And then right around Silver Avenue, back to one lane. So I just got off through. So drive safely out there. Don't rush. If you gotta, if you're going to be late to work, just call your boss and say, hey, I'm stuck in traffic for once. But look, Shasky, man, the whole Joe Burrow, we know Joe Burrow is great. We know that. I don't even know. There's nothing to me to get upset about or like about a fan saying, hey, man, I'm taking Brock, but like it doesn't even trigger me. You know what I mean? Like who's making these, who's having these conversations?
What sports fans do.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You know, sports fans do this.
I mean, who's doing this after last night, though? Like, oh, man, give me Brock Purdy all day
long. I watched this guy's team's 5-8 this year. Really, nothing's gone right, and I just find him to be just an unbelievable player. He's an unbelievable player. And when I watch him, the statistics are eye-popping, but he's so much better than even the stats. He's just an absolute He's a winner. He's an unbelievable winner. I keep going back to Joe Klatt when he was coming out, and he's like, he's the closest to Joe Montana. And I thought that was a crazy comparison. But the more I watch him, I'm like, Joe Klatt might have been onto something.
I think the way his pocket presence has evolved, the way he scrambles, Trey Aikman was talking about it yesterday on the broadcast, the way he gets out of the pocket, he wiggles out, he knows how to step up, he knows where to step up. He throws every single throw he can make on the field, out routes, deep routes, fade routes. He knows when to check. I saw him last year. The most impressive thing wasn't even a throw last season at Levi's Stadium.
I know which one.
Third and 10. They're in the empty. Five wide. Empty. Joe Burrow checks. Hits the helmet. Check. And checks to a quarterback draw. Picks up a first down. And I said, damn. Third and 10. My guy checks to a quarterback draw. Picks up the first down, and it's the awareness and the film study and the preparation throughout the week and throughout the offseason that prepares him for moments like that to where he has the gall to check to a quarterback draw on third and 10. Now, mind you, he's making all the throws as it is, but a third and 10 check to a quarterback draw. So he's in that short category. We see him lead Cincinnati to a Super Bowl. Hell, he won a playoff game in Tennessee. Getting sacked 9 times.
But the thing that's like mind-boggling to me when I watch him and Ja'Marr Chase, everyone knows the ball's going to Ja'Marr Chase, and yet he finds a way to get it to him.
Yeah.
And they dial plays up time and time and time again for the two of them. When I watch Kansas City, the biggest play of that game the other night that had to be made, you knew it was going to Kelce. Did we not all know it was going to Kelce? And somehow, some way, they find a way to get it to him. Now I go back to that Niner game on Sunday, and I throw my hands up, and I'm like, how does Kittle not have more opportunities like we saw on Sunday? How is there not more game plans with him clearly as the apex, clearly as the number one? Why am I left in so many of their losses at the end of seasons or in the middle of the year? Why am I left with 1, 2, and 3 targets for one of the greatest tight ends to ever play in a Niner uniform? The best one.
Doesn't make much sense.
But that's the part that's frustrating, I think, as a Niner fan, is you're watching all these other teams around the league. If you're going to go down, they go down throwing to their best players. Yeah. I feel like the Niners go down and we're married to our scheme, and it just frustrates me.
I saw something in yards, like the separation in yards gain this year. And it's like the Eagles, the Bills, the Niners, and the Lions.
This is in like route running?
No, in terms of just total yards gained. They've outgained their opponents by over 1,000 yards.
I see what you're saying.
Philly, Buffalo. I think it was Philly, Buffalo, Detroit. And then the Niners. I don't know if I screenshotted it or what, but I was like, wow. So it's not like the Niners haven't moved the ball this year. They just haven't been able to score touchdowns. And that's been the theme of the year for me is, you know, when we talk about the Golden State Warriors, we always talk about turnovers. Can you keep the turnovers down? What's your turnovers look like? Are you giving up points off turnovers? Well, with the Niners this season, it's been all about the red zone. That has been the difference in their season so far. So let's continue to touch on that. 888-957-9570. Also, Deebo Samuel. What the hell is going on Twitter with Deebo Samuel? Just put the phone down again. Bob Fitzgerald, stay off the internet.
Stop!
It's not good for anybody, especially for multimillionaire athletes who are struggling. There's no point in tweeting.
Stop!
Stay off the internet. So we'll talk about Deebo coming up here, brought to you by the California Lottery.
If you
you love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate these two. It's the Morning Roast with Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys. Most of the time. Most of the time.
All right, real quick on Monday Night Football. Everybody's bringing up Leon Lett from Thanksgiving. Back in, what was it, 93, 94, when they played the Miami Dolphins in snow on Thanksgiving night, and they blocked the field goal, and Leon Lett touched it. I've never seen a punt block, and the team that blocked the punt touched the ball, not pick it up, and then all of a sudden, Cincinnati was able to recover and get a first down. I don't think I've ever witnessed that before.
Well, I was listening to, did you watch the Manning cast, or were you watching the
I was watching Buck and Aikman yesterday.
Yeah. So the Manning cast was basically alluding to, in every special teams, meeting or whatever, right. This is what they were saying. I don't know. That basically, like, once it passes the line of scrimmage, no one can touch it.
Yep.
And they reiterated over and over and over and over again. And so, I don't know. I mean, the poor guy had just been activated like a couple of weeks ago, and you could see the special teams coach on the sideline.
Bones Fossil.
And he just, he's, yes, no!
Bones Fossil.
And it's, yeah.
Yeah, Bones Fossil, and you know, wow, I'm looking at Brandon Graham here. One is trying to 11, could get a little better with how he responds with things. They was friends before this, but things have changed between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. So we'll get to that in just a second. A lot of drama going on in football, but I was thinking, I didn't even think about Leon Lett. Aikman said it after the game, that Leon Lett, this and that. You know, he said it went through his mind right away because it was a field goal block, and I remember watching that live on Thanksgiving back in the mid-90s, but I hadn't seen a punt like that. And boy, you thought with the way Cincinnati season was going, that was going to be the final play for them, and Dallas was going to go out there and steal a game, which I thought. I thought coming in that Dallas could steal that game with Cooper Rush and company, but they didn't because they're the Cowboys, and they find a way to lose.
Well, and they lost their linebacker, and there's a lot going on.
They find a way. Isn't it great, though?
How about them Cowboys?
There's a little satisfaction in the Cowboys just struggling over and over and over. They've won one home game this year. One home game. How?
I don't know.
Number one.
Oh, because I bet the Giants, that's why.
Parsons is, look, he was running out of gas at the end of that game. He is spectacular. He's spectacular. He's a great player. How he fell to whatever, 11, is just beyond me. He is unbelievable. They have talent. They lost Overturn or whatever. What's his name? Over something or other?
Yeah.
That knee injury was gruesome.
Yeah, that'll get okay.
You know? But to your point about captains, right? You were talking about Jamar and Burrow and everybody. You know, I've seen a lot discussed about Deebo Samuel and him being a captain. And I think there's just a sentiment. I've been thinking a lot about the George Kittle quote from over the weekend. And I don't want to read too much into it. But at the same time, like, I feel like we've got a pretty good feel on George Kittle. And when he says something at a podium, at least in the last couple years, it's felt very genuine and sincere and direct. And I don't know who he's, you know, pointing at regarding effort and consistency and fighting through adversity. I can only speculate. But when you see some of the things that have been going on, my interpretation of what George Kittle was saying was like, man, I get it. And he's paid, so it's easy for him to say that. But it does feel like there's been a lot of side missions on this 49er journey this year. And for whatever reason, personal, professional, a variety of things on and off the field, some that make total sense as a family man, I get it. They have been distracted as a unit. And they haven't been as focused. And when you're questioning effort level and all that stuff, like, then you're tweeting out and you're worried about touches, Deebo Samuel,
after
a big win?
Yeah, Deebo Samuel tweeted yesterday, not struggling it out at all, just not getting the ball. Just because I voiced my opinions mean I'm not hating on any of my teammates. Be for real. Well, we're trying to be for real, but your tweets aren't for real. And I love you, Deebo. I really do. But not struggling at all, just not getting the ball. Well, we're watching you struggle get off the line of scrimmage off a press man. Do you still have a burst? Sure, we see it on the kickoff return. There's something there. But for whatever reason, the ball's not hitting you. You're not catching it or you're not running the right route. I have no idea. But the tweet like that on the short week to create a little more drama within that locker room where you've had 85 receiving yards over the last four games on 11 catches. Just put the, you don't need to, and that's coming off of, you know, the Tampa Bay situation with Tabor Pepper. Yeah. That's coming off the Green Bay game where they get smoked 38-10, and you choose, as a captain of the football team, to not talk to the media. I see Fred Warner, Brock Purdy, George Kittle talk to the media every single week as a captain of the team. Now, you may not think this is a big deal, but as a leader of the team, and your team gets beat down, the press wants to talk to the captains of the team. They want to talk to the guys who are up on the pedestal, who hold weight in that locker room. Well, Kittle does, Warner does, Brock Purdy does, I thought Deebo Samuel did, Trent Williams does, and for Deebo to not even talk after the Green Bay game, and then he didn't do it again after Buffalo, and that's coming off the quote with T.O., who said it on his show that he may be more worried about his pregame outfits or whatnot. It's a it's spiraling out of control for Deebo Samuel. And is this a big deal? I'm sure the locker room will police it. But at the same time, I'm sure there's a couple guys in there giving a side eye like, really, dude? Because I'm reading this quote from Brandon Graham, who's a longtime captain of the Philadelphia Eagles. He's out for the year, and he's on 94 WIP. Oh, you have the sound? Check this out. Check this out.
The person that's complaining need to be accountable. And I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he noticed. He, you know, I don't know the whole story, but I know that one is trying. And, I mean, 11 could be a little better with how he responds to things. And they was friends before this. It's like, man, but things have changed. And I understand that because life happens. But we got to, it's the business side that we have to make sure that we don't let the personal get in the way of the business. And that's what we got to do better as right now. Because we know it's an issue. Everybody's seen some things. But we need to be able to talk things out as men. But we need to let personal stuff go, and let's get right for this game, because, man, it's like a lot of stuff, most of the time it's just a conversation that just need to be had. But the person with the problem got to want to talk to the person other than others. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
So now Brandon Graham has told ESPN that, hey, he took it a little too far with his comments about that. But what's real is real, and what you said is what you said. And what you said, because Brandon Graham's an honest guy, so I don't know what it is about the wide receiver position for many, many years where guys just need to speak out about not getting the ball and being divas or whatnot. But it's just A.J. Brown. Your Philadelphia Eagles are rolling. You get a big win against Carolina. You're going to get yours. Trust me. You're the number one target in the passing game. And then you got Deebo Samuel, who Shanahan is trying to find ways to get involved in the game plan. The run game's not working with Deebo. The jet sweeps no longer work. But, hey, I'm not struggling at all, just not getting the ball.
Well, I would file both of these under, it's just so unnecessary. You could air your grievances behind closed doors that it doesn't become public. Like, you can have a one-off with your coach. I mean, everyone knows Kyle and Deebo are close. Now, maybe they've grown apart. Who knows? I can speak to that. But A.J. Brown, Deebo, what's the point of putting that out there after a win? It's unnecessary. It's a bad look for you. And now you're going to be asked a million questions about your relationship, your happiness, all of this. It's so unnecessary. And all of this, whether it's the contracts and everyone having to get paid and trying to make money, and Debo's in a walk year, he thinks, and he might be dangling this. It's hard for me to drum up empathy when the backdrop of what I saw last night was Ja'Marr Chase playing without a contract, okay, balling his you-know-what off all season long outside of one game to start the year. So it's hard for me to drum up a ton of empathy when I see other players in comparable positions. Travarius Ward doesn't have a contract at the end of this year. He's probably going to be gone. There are a lot of players in the league that don't have money left to them after this. So I get all the contract stuff, and everyone feels it because it's personal to them. But at the end of the day, there are certain things that you are doing to yourself that are unnecessary and putting way too much stress and drama on a situation that doesn't need it. The Niners just had their best win in weeks. And what are we sitting here talking about? Deebo not getting the ball? Come on, man. It's just unnecessary. And I'd say the same thing about A.J. Brown in Philadelphia. Like, come on, man. Like, you don't have to be the star role every single week. You're getting paid handsomely. You just got an extension. He just got an extension. I don't understand it.
No, it was not good. A.J. Brown said it was incredibly tough to get to a rhythm as a receiver when the offense wasn't passing the ball much. So it may not work here for A.J. Brown ever, because Shanahan is not going to get pass happy out there. So, you know, I was thinking about Ja'Marr Chase and coming into camp and playing. And I don't think he plays if Joe Burrow's not there. I think the relationship that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, I don't think it's something we could just shrug off so easily. They've got that rapport from LSU, And, you know, it's maybe the reason why I think Cincinnati passed up on Panay Sewell for Jamar Chase, or could have been.
Burrow wanted him.
Yeah, he wanted him so bad. Yeah. They're boys. They won a national championship together at LSU or broke records. I don't think Jamar Chase plays if Joe Burrow's not the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals. I think he holds out. I think he completely holds out. But Joe Burrow is such his dog, and he loves football. He's like, I can't do Joe Burrow like that.
Well, but he sat out all of training camp and showed up the week of the first game because he wanted to get paid. Because he knows he has to play that.
Well, he was a hold-in. He was a hold-in.
I know, but he didn't practice at all.
Yeah, I know. He didn't practice at all.
But I don't think he plays.
I don't think he plays.
How could you quantify that?
I don't think he plays if Joe Burrow's not the quarterback. I think we're underrating that relationship between Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. They played a lot of football together. And I think Jamar Chase is a real one.
Still there.
And I don't think he... Huh?
The risk is still there of getting injured. Like, the original point of almost every holdout is, my next play could be my last. That's what most players say when they're in these situations. At any moment, I could get hurt. And I'm watching a guy really risk a lot of stuff, Jamar Chase, and he's having a banner year.
Yeah, but I don't think he risks that if Joe Burrow's not the quarterback. That's all I'm saying. You even look at the AFC North Hard Knocks in the meeting room. Who's sitting next to Joe Burrow? It's not the backup quarterback. It's Jamar Chase.
Yeah, but he would still have to play 15 games or 16 games, whatever the number is before, because you don't get to free agency. So you have to play in X amount of games.
I think he dares Mike Brown, because Jamar Chase also the same guy during the COVID season saying, yeah, I'm not playing. I'm sitting this one out.
And a lot of people didn't like that. I mean,
yeah, but a lot of people didn't like that. You think if Joe Burrow's a quarterback at LSU during COVID, he's not playing?
I don't know how I can quantify that. I
quantify it by looking at their relationship over the years, building their rapport on the football field, their rapport off the field, the way they talk to each other. I think they are tight. Like, they're not just friends. They're brothers. I think they're brothers. So I think Jamar Chase feels like, you know what? I got to go out there and ride for Joe because Joe rides for me. That's all I'm saying. But he's a one-off. He's a one-off. CeeDee Lamb held out. He got his money. And look, man.
And he's balling, too.
He is balling. He is balling, but he held out of camp. He held out of camp, and he's balling with guys like Cooper Rush. So, anyway, Deebo Samuel, what do you make about it, Niner fans? 888-957-9570. I do want to talk some Warriors and talk some real sports because this drama stuff is driving me insane. I mean, come on, man. Just put the Twitter down for once. This is just ridiculous. You're not having a great season. The Niners are not having a great season. And for some reason, you need to reply to Joe Schmo on Twitter because people are saying you're struggling, or we're talking on the radio saying, wow, Deebo's only got 85 yards receiving over the last four games. You feel the need to tweet saying not struggling at all, just not getting the ball. But it's not going to help you in this situation. It's not helping you. All right. Baldy's going to join us in a moment. We'll have some Doobie Award details coming up here. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
I can't even believe you said that.
Up Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Monte.
0 for 2 today, Steve. 0 for 2. It's like a turnover, man. Nobody's scoring off him, right? Nobody? 707, Comcast Business Text Line 8, Monte, will the stretch lab improve my golf game? I think so. Should.
Absolutely.
More flexibility. You'll be able to get to move around, wiggle
flip your
a little
hips,
bit. Yeah, absolutely.
Shoulder turns, absolutely.
I can't wait to get back on the course.
Loosen up your wrist for the short game.
There you go. There you go. 888-957-9570 is the number. Pardon me. The Doobie Awards come in this Friday. Not this Friday, but the next Friday, December 20th. And you may want to take the day off. And the Roasters are invited. Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale is going to be a celebration. It's going to be a celebration of the show, the listeners, the station, free food, drinks. Get there early. Go ahead and RSVP at 957thegame.com for more details. Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale for the third annual Doobie Awards. Yes, we're giving out trophies. We got some things. Sorry, I tried to get the YouTube chat back up, but it doesn't look like that's happening. Looks like
I can't even believe you said that.
Yeah, that may be done forever. Forever.
It's personal now!
Yeah, it is personal. I miss my YouTube chat. Chris and Clovis.
Chris and Clovis.
I feel like a kid, man, where something, hey, you sit in the corner right now. You don't get that toy. You don't get it. It's like, man, just give us the damn YouTube chat for crying out loud. We can police ourselves. When the ratings are sky high, I had no problem with the YouTube chat. It's interaction. That's what I like to do, interaction. When I like to, we're not like Mike and Mike where we don't take calls or read texts or anything and just talk. We like to interact with the fans. So come on, Matt Nahegan. Get the YouTube chat back up. Chris and Clovis, what's up?
What's going on, man? Speaking of Debo, man, let me just chime in for 30 seconds. Debo, instead of complaining about the targets or the whatever, like, you know, we're going to have some issues with Grendel if he doesn't play. Might as well just put Debo at running back, man. He did it in 2021. Why not give this guy more touches? Problem solved. He won't complain.
We got 5 carries Sunday and 13 yards, Chris.
Yeah, 15 more touches will do. If we're short on running, if Grendel doesn't play, maybe you give Debo as much touches as he wants.
How you feel about that, Shasky?
I mean, he just hasn't been productive this year. All the numbers are down. The touches, everyone's pointing like all the touches are comparable. He's on pace for the same amount of touches as years prior. Yeah, but his yak is way down,
yeah,
and it just his overall yardage is way down. So the productivity is like slashed in half. So it's a combination of where he's catching the ball, the execution around him, his speed, him not breaking tackles. When was the last time you saw Debo break a couple tackles?
It's been a while.
You know, now, I also believe teams are keen on him. He's getting gang tackled a lot. That would go back to, like, it's very predictable when and where he's catching the ball. It's been a crummy year from the guy. And the thing I can't get out of my head is like, damn, man, you're really going to go out like this? Like, well, really, you're really going to go out this sad and this angry and this whole way? Like, man, dude, it just really sucks.
You know what's been underrated is that Brandon Ayuk has been out. And Christian McCaffrey's been out. You talk about spacing. We always talk about spacing with the Warriors and the gravity of Steph,
mm-hmm.
and having shooters out there and not having non-scores or whatnot. And like, you think about the small ball lineup on Sunday with Buddy Hield and GP2. They had enough spacing to get shots up, but spacing to get Jonathan Kuminga rolling downhill. Well, the spacing that Christian McCaffrey creates for Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel has been a bit underrated. I think we just... You look at the numbers last year in the offense, it was the perfect storm. Number one in the red zone. Number one in yak. You know, you have 4 guys go over 1,000 scrimmage yards. And now you take that away, your red zone numbers are affected, and some of your top playmakers are affected. Now, Brandon Ayuk may not have had the season that he had, but Juwan Jennings is baller, right? But I don't know if teams respected Juwan Jennings the same way they respected Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk. And so I do think that's had an impact on Deebo Samuel. With that said, when you pay a guy the money that you're paying him, you expect him to make some plays to step up here. So, is it on Purdy? Because that basically, when you send a tweet out like that, and I do want to transition to the Warriors in a second, but when you send a tweet out like that, you're kind of throwing the quarterback under the bus.
And you
throw the
head coach under the bus.
Yeah, when you say, I'm just not getting the ball, that's a shot at Colin, that's a shot at Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I took it as both of them, I guess, not just one or the other. This is so unnecessary. But here's the thing. Like, and this is where I guess I push back on. Your point is well taken on Brandon Ayuk and McCaffrey in the spacing. His best season, Debo's best season, came when there was no Christian McCaffrey. And I believe Kittle played most of those games. He might have missed a couple in the 2021 season. And we know Ayuk started slow, but came on a lot as the season went on and was a better player down the stretch. I just don't know what the excuse is this year. There are so many teams that would die to have George Kittle and the running game as efficient as the Niners have. It doesn't matter who's back there. It feels like they're getting 4+ yards a carry, right? And so you do have some semblance of a run game. Yeah, I don't know if Juwan Jennings is getting what they call cloud coverage or bracket coverage from safeties and a guy pressing him, but he's certainly getting open and he's making plays. There are enough playmakers for Debo to go out there and make plays. I don't understand exactly what's going on.
Well, 2021 is a different year, right? Because the league hadn't really seen much of the Debo jet sweep. They saw glimpses of it in 2019. They saw glimpses of it during the COVID year, but 2021 was just an unbelievable season.
But they
season.
Don't really run the jet sweeps this year.
It's not working. It hasn't really worked.
I know, but they like when they give him the ball, it 9 times out of 10, it's been him at right. Well, in the gun runs. It's like a gun run where he comes up alongside the quarterback, and then all the passes that he gets, like 9 out of 10 are on the edges, but they're not like screens per se. Those have been wiped out.
No, what I want to say though is when they have run a jet sweeps and they haven't run it much because I don't think it's worked much over the last couple seasons. Teams are on that stuff, the jet sweep. I can't recall how many times people have called and said, man, stop running the jet sweep with Debo. The league's on it. So Look, man, the Niners are, and I want to know this from Niner fans. Forget the Deebo tweets because I'm drummed out. They're 6-7 right now. I can't deal with the tweets about not getting the ball, whether I'm getting by. I don't.
But isn't this what Kittle was talking about though? Before we go on, like, isn't this kind of exactly what Kittle was saying the day before?
I guess. Do you have the Kittle sound? Could you play the Kittle sound?
Like,
you play the Kittle sound.
My big takeaway from Sunday is like, where has this been all year? Well, what the hell?
Well, the Bears. We haven't played the Bears all year.
Well,
that's how I feel. That's how I feel about it. How do Niner fans feel? Here's George Kittle after a game on Sunday.
I think the message was we need to play with more of a sense of urgency and play desperate because you just haven't really sensed that. And, like, I've been on teams where it felt like, was it 2 years ago we were on an, whatever, like 8-9 game win streak, whatever that was, and it literally felt like every play people were just scratching, clawing, and fighting for everything. And I'm not going to call anybody out. Like, we've all like, not taken a play off, but, like, you know, just not fought our hardest on every given play. And that was kind of the message. Like, guys, just put it all out there. Because we have the players, we have the playmakers, we have the play call, and we have everything to win games. But, like, we have to do it out of desperation. And when you're playing desperate and you're playing like, hey, if we don't win this game, our season potentially is over, that desperation fuels guys in different ways, and it's just how you take that and how you channel that energy. And I thought our guys did a great job of that today.
Yeah, look, he's the captain of the team. The way I received that message was that they just haven't played button-up football. And has they played desperate? I thought they played desperate in Tampa Bay. That looked like desperation to me coming off the bye week. The Dallas Cowboys game was desperation. They played like desperation for especially in that third quarter when they were down. They just haven't been consistent all season long. And so I don't know if that has to do with urgency. I don't know if George Kittle's calling on a particular player or whatnot. But it is what it is. They've been inconsistent this season. And they've lacked execution on both sides of the football. They've lacked execution of special teams. That's a unit that hasn't played necessarily desperate. They've just been beaten. And it hasn't been their year. But I don't know if he's calling somebody out. I'm not going to. And I think it's reckless to speculate that he's. Hey, he's calling out George. Let's see, Deebo Samuel. He's calling out this player, that player, this player, that player. I don't know who George Kittle's calling out.
I'll speak for myself. Like, yeah. I think it's, you don't need a microscope or a telescope to find out. Like, Deebo does this the very next day. It's like, come on, dog. Like, this, he may not have been talking about you yesterday, but this is exactly what I think he is inferring. Like, is like the, all the side missions and stuff. Like, everybody, just can we just play football?
Yeah, they're boys, though, man. Deebo and George Kittle are boys, man. They're part of the Cabo clique. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if he's calling out Deebo Samuel or whatnot. I don't think Deebo Samuel has played desperate. He just hasn't played well enough.